We want to just bring just a short reflection or word to you now, which actually is quite important. It's been absolutely fantastic to spend some weekends or some 24-hour periods in prayer. And it's been absolutely brilliant. And what the Lord has been saying, it has been so good. And I've had a great evening Wednesday just reflecting that on that and just sort of trying to sort of gather thoughts about what we believe the Lord is saying in all this. But I just want to sort of talk about my personal experience of God's voice in these last few weeks. At the start of lockdown, there was such I felt a grace. We didn't, the sort of preaching plan that we had in place went out the window. And so each week I would say, Lord, what do you want me to say? What do you want us to think about and look at on Sunday? And there was such a grace. And the Lord would just speak, and there would just be a word. And it felt right, the word that we brought. But for about a month now, it's been really hard. And I've been really struggling. And I've said to one or two of you, the Lord feels very, very silent. The Lord feels very quiet. And it was starting to get difficult. I was starting to get a bit stressed. I mean, these live streams, as you've seen this morning, they're not easy. It's not easy. We're being thrust into a sort of a way of doing our gatherings that we wouldn't necessarily choose, but we're learning fast, and God has been good in the midst of it. And we know that you've had to be patient as we kind of work this through. But the other side of it is actually it's quite difficult doing this. And actually, it's taken me a bit of time just to get my head around kind of standing up in front of you. And so early on, when I had these words coming, it made it much easier. But for the last month, God has seemed very quiet. And I'd started getting a bit stressed. I started striving a little bit from about Thursday. I'd be thinking, okay, Lord, it's getting a bit close. It's getting a bit close. And I need a word for this weekend. Church needs me to come in with a word. I'm so grateful to all those of you who've shared and come in. And because it's kind of taken the pressure off a little bit. But yesterday was no exception. I sat in bed yesterday morning and I planned to get up early and just put something down for today. And I was sat in bed thinking, I don't know what to talk about. And it was getting later and later, and I was making more and more excuses why I could sit in bed a bit longer. So I think I did the crossword. I listened to the news. I had another cup of coffee and another cup of coffee because I didn't want to go down and sit in my desk and stare at a blank piece of paper. I was quite sort of concerned that there wasn't going to be anything come. And then I was getting a bit wound up about this, and my mind turned to it was a picture that Neil MacDonald shared earlier on last year, and it was a picture of concentric circles. And at the time, he just offered it, didn't really make any sense. And it was just the week before I was going on a reading week. And so I was stepping away for a few days just to read and think about vision. And in the midst of that, God started to unpack and reveal what this picture of concentric circles meant. And my mind was drawn to that yesterday morning. And then also in the midst of my striving and my seeming procrastination, my mind was turned to something that we That I have been thinking about for a very long time based on Isaiah 60. I've shared it with you over the last 3 or 4 years. And it was using this word arise. I'll read to you Isaiah 60 in a moment, but use this word arise as an acronym, each letter meaning something. And we talked about it, haven't we? We've talked about that becoming the foundation on which we build. And my mind was turned to this, and suddenly I had a real penny dropping moment. This is for me. The Lord said, Matt, I've spoken and you've done nothing with it. I've spoken and you haven't done what I kind of asked you to do, to use this to shape your life, to shape the church's life. Yes, I've been thinking about these things. Don't get me wrong, they've been very much in my mind, but we haven't taken that step of saying, okay, what does this look like in our life together as a church? And it was quite a moment. I was really excited to hear that kind of the word of the Lord, if you like. But what he was saying is, when I send my word forth, I want it to be used. I've given you a word. I'm not going to give you another word just yet. I want you to take and run with the word I've given you. You know, the Lord is, this is part of kind of the judgment, if you like, we will face, is what if the Lord's going to say, what have you done with what I put in your hands? And I think he's put something in my hands. And it's just really coming to me. I had a real kind of moment with the Lord as I sort of went down to my office and I started scribbling things down about today and started scribbling things down about this vision, this picture of what could be in our church. So I want to remind us of this. You know, we've had some amazing prophetic words that we go back to time and time again, that picture of the sail full of the wind of God. And that was kind of confirmed in some of the words that were given over our 2 days of prayer that we've had over the last few months. And then the locks, the rising level, God is taking us up higher and higher and higher. But I think what I'm sensing and what I'm seeing is that actually these two words about concentric circles and the whole picture of a rise is part of our taking hold of and experiencing those two prophetic pictures that we've had. So I want to read to you from Isaiah 60. I'm going to start in verse 59, but we're not going to spend too long on this today. I just want to just put it before you again today, and I say, this is what I feel the Lord is saying. So this is what it says. It's starting 59:20. It says, the Redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who repent of their sins, declares the Lord. And then it says this, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord, my spirit who is on me will not depart from you, and my words that I have put in your mouth will always be on your lips, on the lips of your children, and on the lips of their descendants, from this time forth, from this time on, and forevermore, says the Lord. And then it says this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. The thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. I believe that God has given us this word. He's this confirmed this word. He's confirming it to me today and to us, I believe. And it's time for us to say, what does this look like as we go forward? It's part of our preparation, I think, for coming out of this time of lockdown. Remember that picture that we've been using, that picture of the moth, the caterpillar turning into the moth, the chrysalis, this stage where it's very hidden and it's dark stage, but God is working. And I think we're in that phase now. You know, we are a bit hidden. We're not together as we would want to be. And I think God is at work. He's saying, I want you to lay down some old things. And I want you to take hold of some new things. And I think this is part of it. I know we're meeting at the end of the month. We're going to try and gather people on Zoom. We're just going to say, okay, what does this look like, guys? Start putting some thoughts and ideas about the shape of our church as we go forward. So let me just bring these two words to you. And really, I'm just going to draw them, do my best to draw them. It's a bit low tech, sorry. But okay. So the first word was about three with concentric circles like this. So as I sort of weighed this and thought about this, I felt that there were three kind of elements represented that we need to think about as we go forward as a church. So the first kind of three elements of our life together. There's the individual response. You know, each one of us individually has to respond to Christ. But then there's this, also this kind of gathered response. So this part of our lives, we can't do it at the moment so much, can we? But actually, you know, there is part of our life together as a group of Christians is our gathered, the place where we gather. And that's a really a kind of important part. But then also there's this scattered bit that we need to also include. You know, I've said often, and my favourite part of the end of the service is when everyone walks out the door. It's not because I don't want to see you. It's because when we go out that door, then we really start to be the church where we should be. And I think this is really important. And we want to incorporate and include this in our life together as we go forward and in our shape and our structure, because what it means is that we're going to be balanced. Because if we overemphasize one aspect here, the other bits miss out. If we overemphasize the gathered bit, and I think this is a problem within the life of the church, what can happen is we come in this place, shut the door, and we forget that there's a world out there. You know? Yeah, it's good to gather, but it's also good when those times are finished and we then scatter. So I think it's really important that we don't overlook any of these aspects. And I think that's why the Lord put that picture before us. So that's that. We'll say more about this in weeks to come and in months to come. And it's come out, I think, one of the other things, actually, I'll come back to the point in a moment. So let me just quickly then remind you of the five different points that I think, five different foundational points that I think if we build upon, we will see what this passage says. It's arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It says, see, darkness covers the earth, a thick darkness is over all the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you. I think when we do these five things, we make them foundational principles in our life and in our life together, individually, and in our corporate life, in our gathered life, I think it will have a massive impact on what it means to be a scattered community. So there are 5 points, and each one spells out the word arise. So the first is that we are ambitious. Excuse me if I don't spell it right. Ambitious for, is that right? The kingdom. You know, we believe, as Dan and Mel were saying earlier, the kingdom is an advancing kingdom, isn't it? The kingdom is an advancing kingdom. And that means, if that's a foundation that we are going to build upon, we believe in, as that song we sung earlier, we're going to sing it again later, says there's always more. Because God's intention and his plan, that he fills all things everywhere with himself. That's what we pray when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All things everywhere filled with himself. So we're ambitious for that, aren't we? I'm looking to my friends in the room, just a handful of us. Yes. Okay, the second point is this. I think we need to be building upon our restored identity. And this has come up again throughout the time when we've been praying together. Again and again, people have been saying, remember your identity. Do you know what? If you're sat here today looking at this, if you're looking on as a Christian, you are a child of God. You are a child of God. And do you know what? Also, you're a saint. You're a saint. You're not a sort of a rotten sinner. Yeah, we all sin, don't get me wrong, but God has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. And we have been restored. We said about it last week as we broke bread together. We have been included, adopted into his family. But do you know what? This is a royal family. This is a royal family. There's an authority that is ours. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And he says, right, I want to co-labor. I want to partner with you in what I came to do now. He's done everything that needs to be done. We just need to take hold of it and run with it out here. Okay, restored identity. This is the third one. Now, I changed this. I was away in January, in February, for just a week of retreat. Again, this is something that came up time and time again. So I've changed it to this: inside out living. Inside out living. Where do you live from? Where do you live from? Do you live from the outside in or the inside out? I have to say, many of us, me included, live from the outside in. There are a whole bundle of external circumstances, situations. You know, the Bible talks about there are three enemies of our souls, the world. That's an external outside source, isn't it? An outside influence. There's the flesh. That's an outside influence. And there's the devil. The devil who only comes to steal and kill and destroy. So are we living from the outside in? Or are we going to live from the inside out? That part of us that is renewed and restored. The part of us that God looks on and says, ah, righteous, forgiven, free, new, born again. You know? Because when we start living from that place, it starts influencing every area and every part of our lives and our flesh and our relationships and our impact on and in the world. So are we living from the outside in or the inside out? Because I think that is really, really important. Okay, so A-R-I-S, servants of all. One of my favorite moments, missed the word out, in the life of Jesus is when he washes his disciples' feet. And it says he knew where he came from. And he knew where he was going. Yeah? He knew where he came from and knew where he was going. So basically, he understood his identity. And what did he do? He got down on his knees. He basically stripped to his pants. He got on his knees and he washed his disciples' feet. He took the place of the lowest of the low servant. He served those that were before him. One of the words that's come up time and time again, I think over both of our prayer days recently, has been about humility. It's been about humility. And I think that's what this point is about. It's about looking at the one before us, seeing them through Christ's eyes, loving them as he loves. And the final one is that we need to be empowered by the Spirit. You know, the disciples were instructed they were not to go from Jerusalem until they had received that power. Okay, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, say to yourself where you are now. I'm going to ask the people in the room to say it now. The six of us here. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like we he's saying, you can't go out that door. You can't scatter until you've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And I personally think that this gathering and our individual response is where we start to really connect with and receive the power of the Holy Spirit as we're sent out, as we're scattered into the world around us. I want you to just use your imagination for a moment. Imagine if your whole life was built on these five principles, being ambitious for the kingdom of God, living in your restored identity as a child of God, as a son or a daughter of the King. Yeah. As you live from the inside out. Jesus talked about that the streams of living water, they bubble up and flow from within you, that place of restoration, the place where, you know, it's the place of connection with him. Once we start living from there, serving the one before us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, imagine, suddenly this takes on a little bit more meaning, doesn't it? Arise, shine, for your light has come, the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. His glory revealed in you. His glory shined upon you, shining upon you, and his glory shining through you. It was great. Gwyn touched on this last week when we prayed. We were reflecting on this and thinking about, you know, how we can display the glory of the Lord. And this is what it says. It says, so the earth will be filled with people who know the glory of the Lord. And we were thinking about that other passage that talks about the glory of the Lord sort of filling the earth as the waters cover the face of the earth. I can't remember the exact phrase, but do you see what I'm saying? As we receive his glory, we go out. There's almost a covering, a displaying of his glory to those around us, to the world around us. I think this enables and encourages and facilitates that. And I'm starting to really get excited about what this kind of looks like if we're going to build a church upon it. So that's really all I want to say. I want to introduce it. Look, we're a little bit longer this morning than we thought we would normally be, just because obviously the technical difficulties at the start. But I want to read to you an email I received as we were praying this morning. It's a friend of mine called Robert, and he's a good friend of mine who lives up in Newark. Robert prays for me every Sunday morning. He doesn't often write to me on a Sunday morning, but he prays for me. He's probably written to me on a Sunday morning two or three times, and we've known each other a lot of years. But when he's got a word, he'll share it. And bearing in mind how I felt yesterday, he wrote to me at about 8:30 this morning, just as we were praying. And this is what he said. I'd like to read it to you. This morning in my daily reading from Isaiah, I read from chapter 32, verse 8. This is what it said. The noble make noble plans, and by noble deeds they stand. And I immediately thought of you. I wonder why. I always pray for you each Sunday morning. Anyway, but as I continued praying, I felt the Holy Spirit saying that I was not merely to send an email because the mention of the word noble prompted me to think of you because of your name, but also to encourage you with the verse in terms of plans which I have, which are in your heart, and the outworking of those deeds by which those plans will come to fruition. The deeds are threefold: the good works which God has placed in you, and which are a daily outworking of your life and faith in him. Two, operational stuff which is associated with the running of the church. And then three, this is an interesting one. Some of you will kind of understand this one. Deeds as in property deeds. The plans, desires placed in your heart will come to fruition. And remember that Job boldly declared that I know that you can do all things. No plans of yours can be thwarted. And then I saw a picture of plans drawn by an architect. I got that this morning and my heart just leapt. Been carrying this. And I think it was just confirmation yesterday and today that it's time to start walking forward into this. And you know, what does this look like for us as a church? And I want to finish with a picture that Martin Holmes shared with me. And this is the picture that's, sorry, I should have it on the screen, but can you see that? It's a traffic light. And the one that's illuminated is the green for go. And Martin sent that through last week. So, you know, I do believe that the Lord is moving us forward. I believe he's given us a word that will help us move forward into the future. It's going to take time just to work out what that looks like, but I do think this is part of the new thing that he's doing. So let us pray together. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you've got plans and purposes for us. Thank you that you never leave us, never forsake us. Thank you that you've invited us to be part of this journey of the kingdom. Wow. Thank you that we're children of yours, adopted into your family. Thank you, Lord, that there's a river flowing from within out. Yeah. And you want us to live every moment in that river. You want us to live every moment from who we are in you. You want us to be free from the influence and impact of the world and the flesh and the devil. Thank you. us to be the most loving, spirit-filled, empowered people. Oh, we love you, Lord. And so for your glory, so for your glory, your glory in us, and Lord, your glory through us. It's for your glory to be revealed and shone into the communities and places that you put us. Oh, love you, Lord. Thank you that you're not silent. You're talking all the time. You give us your word. And you speak to us by your spirit. Thank you that I believe you've spoken today. And let us weigh these words wisely, carefully. The word for us, I believe, is go. Move forward in it. Start to take those steps. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.